and the water.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question here, please. The Alba Water District's water will end at the property line, and whatever contamination or non-contamination shouldn't affect our water lines because of this. Now, I don't know, the EIR has, if we had, the water district had to put in any information on that or not, I'd have to ask Dan. So if our water line's not going on the property, I'm understanding your concern. What it is that you're trying to say?
Okay. All right. I can appreciate that. Let me just say the last thing I want to say is that they are going to be grading the land, and if there are storms or if there is rain, that they, according to the mitigations, they are to cover the tractors, all equipment, and the ground.
Excuse me, Paul.
Yes, sir.
You're getting off the track here. This is the Diablo Water District. We're not the city controlling what runs off the tractors and all that other. That's not our responsibility.
What I'm speaking as a director, a water director slash groundwater sustainability director, and part of our oversight for groundwater sustainability is not only the amount of water but also the quality of water, and contaminated groundwater. Or contaminated soil being rained on will further contaminate the groundwater. That's my point. And I just want to make sure that when they begin their work, that they do have all of the material available. Dan, I don't know how you can check on this or to make sure, but make sure that they have all the material available, that if they're upturning soil, that they follow through with their mitigation measure that they stated, and make sure that they cover all equipment and cover the ground that's being turned. And that's all I've really got to say. And thank you for hearing me out, guys. I appreciate that.
Will the chair entertain a motion?
I make a motion to pass Measure D.
I'll move that we approve Measure 4D for the Oakley Logistics Center Facilities Installation Agreement.
So for recording, I want to make sure that...
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Yeah, I think I have Director Crockett as making the first, and
okay.
Vice President DeFrimery as the second.
Okay.
Roll call vote. Director Pastor?
Pastor is an aye.
Director Seizure?
Sure. I mean, aye.
Director Crockett?
Aye.
Vice President DeFrimery?
Aye.
President Hobbs?
Aye.
Okay, 5-0. So on the general manager update, so I think everybody's seen the water supply charts. They were starting to dip down the reservoir levels. However, we've been receiving some good amount of snow up in the Sierra, so that's what we really needed for the springtime. So I'm looking forward to the April 1st snow survey, which will have hopefully a lot better news than we had back in March, where it was sub 40% of normal in the snowpack. And I'm just going to keep rolling through them on the recycled water feasibility program or study. We have had a few meetings with the consultants, a lot of phone calls. Everything these days are phone calls and webinars. And we were able, based off of some rough district priorities and Iron House priorities to give them a little bit of direction on kind of ruling out some ideas that were way out there and then ideas that should move forward. So the first two, a no project alternative and water conservation, are required as part of the grant funding requirements. And then the other areas are going to move on to the feasibility analysis are looking at potential for any new developments, receiving any recycled water in the future, also looking at infiltrating recycled water into a spreading basin, and then one additional level from that would be indirect potable reuse, actually injecting it in via dedicated groundwater wells to get it into the aquifer where our potentially our production wells will be able to pick it up. And then the most advanced thing they're going to look at in the feasibility study is a direct potable reuse. And something worth noting is there are no state standards for the level of treatment on that, but we wanted them to look at some of the treatment technologies that would be required. I have a feeling that once they start getting some numbers analyzing this, that a direct potable reuse, regardless of public perception, that will probably fall by the wayside just because of the relatively small volume of water and the high level of treatment that it's going to require. So we're looking at our April or May board meeting. I'd rather have them there in person. So I'm not sure quite yet on April's meeting if we're going to be able to meet in person or not. So it'll likely be May. We'll have them come in and give a presentation to the board and give an update on these items that they've been moving forward. Are there any questions about the recycled water study?
No questions.
None here.
I'm good.
Okay.
No questions.
And then on LAFCO, just that quick bullet there that Mr. McGill ran unopposed, so we don't have to do a vote. Had he had somebody run against him, we would have had it on our agenda this month to vote for a special district representative on LAFCO. And something that I will circle back with the chief on just to make sure he knows what we're up to regarding COVID-19 and our current and future plans. Right now, we're operating the district under FEMA guidance documents that are maintained for the continuity of operation, and they're set forth for influenza, pandemics, et cetera. And this one was, you know, very close to it, a viral pandemic. So we're operating under that, under, you know, the World Health Organization. We're under a phase 6 pandemic, which is the highest that they declare. And we're operating the water utility at a stage 5, which is the highest before post-recovery. So what that means is we're trying to mitigate a lot of spread of the virus internally. We have closed our office to the public. We're taking phone payments, which we usually don't take payments over the phone unless they're past due. We are also suspending late fees and water shutoffs right now for non-payments. A lot of people are having economic hardships, and we'll be tracking that. We're looking at the financial impacts to the district so far by not collecting our late fees in March, even though we've only been under this for a week. March cycle, we missed $1,500 for late fees. And all this that we're doing, these fees, any potential lost revenue because businesses are closed, any restaffing that we're doing, we're tracking all the costs because it's key from the start to track your costs. So if and when FEMA decides exactly what's reimbursable, we'll already have it all tracked in an account fund. Went through something very similar to this as far as the tracking side with the fires in 2017. So I'm familiar with their process and how to work with FEMA and Cal OES. The other items that we're doing, we've not only closed the office to the public, but we are not letting the field staff come in the office or the office staff go out to the corporation yard. We've implemented the 6 feet of separation. We've been doing that for over 2 weeks. We're wiping down every high-touch surface every day. And we're also working shifts at a reduced staff density so that we reduce the amount of interactions that staff have with each other. And, you know, we're seeing some of the really critical infrastructure, you know, desal plants in other locations. They're going one step higher than staff density reductions, and they're actually doing locking staff in place. So that's the ultimate, is if you have something that critical, you actually isolate your staff inside so there's no chance of them getting sick. And what our fear has nothing to do with water quality or water quantity. It's that if we're all commingling even at a six-foot distance and one of us was to get sick under the Contra Costa health order, anybody that's talked to that person or been within working distance would have to self-quarantine at home. And so we can't obviously have our entire district go home. And so that's how we're doing the shift work and the staff density reduction. For myself, we've been doing a lot of webinars, obviously getting up to speed on how we're able to hold this meeting tonight. So the governor's executive order that changed the Brown Act temporarily, suspending some of the requirements. We've been on some emergency funding webinars and been also getting the Contra Costa EOC updates and reports. And we're finding the Contra Costa Water District, as usual, in a area where you have a wholesale and a retail, is they're taking the lead on the water side. And so we're reporting stuff to them as far as what actions we're taking, preventative measures, et cetera. And then they're reporting it to the county. Had this been something that was a disaster really specific to Oakley, we'd obviously be working with the chief of police and we would already be in place at their EOC. So that's a list of actions that we're taking. And also we're doing just one other thing on the field. They're not coming into the courtyard office space anymore. They're being direct dispatched from their trucks. So we just eliminate any chance of congregation, whether it's accidental or intentional. So I hope that doesn't paint too scary a picture. It's just all about safety and precaution. And we're, you know, taking this kind of 2 weeks at a time, seeing what the governor's putting out as far as the shelter-in-place orders and the county health officer. And I'll keep the board apprised if, you know, should any of our staff that's on a work shift get sick and we need to do self-isolation of part of our staff, I'll certainly let the board know.
I have a question. Is the equipment that the field workers use, the trucks, et cetera, do they get sanitized after use in case there's another person using that same equipment the next day?
Yeah, they do. And the most important part, what they're in the most, is their trucks. And their trucks are dedicated to individual staff. So unless we had a water main break, that'd be the time when we're using a lot of shared equipment. And they know at that point that they need to take additional PPEs. They need to be wearing gloves at all time and wearing N95 face masks if they're forced to work within 6 feet of each other.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's it for the updates. Okay, that was my update, so...
Moving on to general counsel.
No report. Just trying to stay safe.
Thank you. Is our engineer there tonight?
I'm here, Howard. Good evening.
Great. Good evening.
I'll reiterate this is a first and an interesting first, I know, for the board, not being able to be with you all tonight. So hopefully next month or soon we'll be back to normal. Dan asked me to just give a quick update on CDM Smith's activities with the facility plan. We submitted a draft of the document to Dan and the district roughly about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And I know Dan and staff have been reviewing that, anticipating comments back soon on that. And I believe unless there's some additional substantial work that Dan wants us to look into further, I believe the intent is to possibly present some highlights of that report at the next board meeting.
That is correct. And just one kind of put a definitive date. We will get you our comments back by the end of next week. So I finished my review and now it's off to Wayne and Nacho.
Okay. Sounds good. I believe that's it for my update.
Well, thank you very much.
And happy birthday, Jack. That was it. All right.
Thank you.
Who would like to be first on comments of directors?
I'll no just comments say from Jack.
Well, it's Jack's birthday. Happy birthday, Jack. That's all I got.
thank you. Cheated the devil out of another year.
Well, we sure missed the cake tonight. I mean, you know. Happy birthday, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Thank you.
Well, hearing no more about this, well, we'll move on to the financial report. Item 6.
Okay, so in your board package, you have the warrant register, the ACH wire transactions, and the monthly financial statements. So if there's any questions, I'll field the questions. If not, they're ready for a motion.
Move for approval.
I have a question. Dan Pastor, I have a question.
Hey, go ahead, Director Pastor.
I'm new to all this, so last meeting when we signed, do we have to stop by and sign, or do you have the permission if we approve, like now over the phone, that you can do it without our signature?
Yeah, so everything that's requiring signatures at this point, even if we had a resolution in front of the board, we could either deliver it out. So, sounds like President Hobbs.
Yes, sir. I have no problem.
I can actually. Okay, yeah, letting Director Pastor know that, no, we do not need to get the warrant register signed right away. That's not a priority issue. These are all approved in arrears, so the checks are already out. This is a formality for approval.
Okay. Understood. That's all I had.
It sounded like we had a first by Director or Vice President DeFremery.
I'll second.
I'll second.
And I think Director Crockett got the second on that one.
Sure.
Okay. Roll call vote. Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFremery.
Aye.
President Hobbs.
Aye.
Okay, passes 5-0. I'm currently looking at our conference call of who's on, and we have no public. Iron House dropped off, and so did the chief. So I think, President, as a formality for the audio recording, if you want to adjourn us to a closed session so we can get a time in on that, that'd be great.
Item 7, yeah.
Item 7, you got the clock. My clock's the hour off.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can see everybody's logged on. I can see who's chatting at what time, so I know if we're talking over each other. Okay, official call by General Counsel. It's 8:22. So Iron House did hold their special meeting on Monday because they canceled the meeting last week to discuss the potential land transaction. And both their general manager and myself were a bit surprised that they have decided that they do not want to sell land to another public agency at this point in time. So I know I had a chance to check in with a few directors just to kind of give you a heads up on that. It doesn't stop our process as far as the new corporation yard. We've looked at other locations. This was just probably one of the better areas that we were looking at because it was flat, made a nice entrance location, but we do have another buildable spot that's in the south part of our parcel by the railroad tracks where the small shop is, the lower shop. So just wanted to relay that we are no longer looking at purchasing from Iron House, they said it was not a price issue. It was a philosophical or fundamental decision. And from what I gathered from their general manager, there may have just been an overabundance of fear given the kind of current environment that we're living in. And, you know, they even told them at some point, well, maybe in a year or two we can entertain it. However, in a year or two, we're going to have our building built and working out of it.
Dan, you know, there is a possibility of condemning it, if even if they don't want to sell it.
Yeah, it did cross my mind, and that's definitely, you know, I want to hear from the directors, because that's going to ruffle some obvious feathers with Iron House.
No, I know. I just wanted to point out that there is an option if the district chose to exercise it.
Can I ask a quick question? What does condemning it achieve?
Well, it would require the property to be transferred to the water district, and unless that there was an agreement as to the price, a court or a jury would decide the value of the property that we would be acquiring. So it's merely a question of money, how much we would have to pay, not a question of whether we would get it.
Okay, and I'm looking at Google Earth right now. Where did you say would be another opportunity, Dan?
So it would be on the part of our parcel that fronts the railroad, so the south part of our parcel.
Yes.
Here's something from Wikipedia.
Oops. Where you've got that small shed. There's enough width there to put a facility, and then we can also entertain. We've got some infiltration. They're currently infiltration ponds. They were originally part of the treatment system behind the tank on the north side of the tank that we can look at if that would be feasible to put it there. So what I would recommend is if we don't move forward with condemning the land and we're looking on staying within our current footprint, is that something that we can have it's built within the architect's scope within item 8 to come out and look at footprints and see where, you know, if we can have a different location that it may fit.
And how much land exactly were they, were we asking for?
We were asking for an acre and a third.
Good.
Yeah, and as I talked more to their GM, you know, a little bit of information came out other than just fundamentally opposed to selling. It had nothing to do with our offer price or us. Then they started thinking, well, maybe that's really prime land because of where it sits as an entrance, even though they have no current plans for it. So they kind of reversed course from when I was in front of them in the fall, you know, talking to them about it, and they said, yeah, sure, let's get a value and let's move forward. Obviously, they never committed at that point, but they were more willing to entertain it at that point.
Wow.
And they want to work with us on recycled water. Huh.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I think we should review this condemnation and see if it's worth our time.
Could you give us an approximate timeline we'd be looking at?
Well, Dan, usually it's sort of something that the public doesn't like. We're two public agencies of which they are taxpayers and et cetera, are suing each other, if you will. So it's much better to try to do some sort of negotiation and maybe political discussions with the board about not requiring a condemnation to take place, just letting them know that is an option that Diablo would have in the event that we were absolutely stuck without that property. So maybe some discussion and a little politicking might resolve the problem without any legal proceedings.
I'm going to throw something out. I kind of go along with Jeff. I don't like condemnations. And we don't have to be in too much of a hurry, do we, Dan?
The part that, yeah, we have 3 years from when the bond was sold to use 90% of it. So we do have some time. We don't have unlimited time, but we do have some.
Yeah.
So maybe Dan, you should talk to the GM over there and see what he thought about maybe getting a couple members of their board and a couple members of our board to get together and you know, see if they could work something out.
Okay. Yeah, I think you know, getting an ad hoc together from our board would be good if we have some volunteers that want to do it from our board.
Well, I mean, I'm going to talk to their GM first to see if it's even a go.
I'll do that first. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything else to contribute there.
Sounds like
can I?
Route.
Yeah. Can we? And Jeff, you can advise me if this is too premature, but can we get the people from our board selected? Should they say yes, just so we don't have any time delays of trying to select who from our board would meet with them if they are open to it?
No, you can discuss that now.
Well, gentlemen, who would like to do that?
I think it should be one of the old timers.
Well, maybe some members of the board that might have any kind of relationship with any of members of their board might be helpful.
Right. I personally am not that familiar with their board at this time.
Well, I'm kind of the same way. The only one I know is Chris Lawrenson.
I'm friends with Doug.
Doug Hardcastle?
He's not on the board.
Oh.
Well, it was just a thought. You know,
I was talking about Doug Scheer.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Doug Scheer is still on it. Chris Lordson, Don Morrow, Peter Zirkel.
Well, I think Dan should talk to the manager first and then maybe go from there.
Okay.
Well, sounds like we got a plan. Dan,
is there sort of a plan B destination for a building, for a courtyard?
I guess
I think at this point.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, at this point, if we're still looking at land purchases, option A, then yes, option B would be looking at the potential two locations on our current parcel that, you know, they're obviously site constrained. You know, where the railroad track side, we might be looking at bringing in some fill or something like that to help build it up and level it. So, yeah, I think at that point we have to start looking at cost effectiveness. If we, you know, if they really threw out a high price and said, well, my philosophical desires go away if you pay us $500,000 for our acre of land. Well, we need to really be looking at how much it's going to cost to build in the other spot.
There you go. Or condemning it and get a fair price out of it.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, I can see it going that way. I would go for that if we had to, but I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm not suggesting it. I agree with you. That's the last resort. That's all. But it's something that you could hold over their head so that maybe they would be more reasonable about getting it done.
I think that's
so. I'm wondering, is this something that, I mean, like I said, Doug and I are friends. Can I just ask him what's going on in his head, or should I just leave this alone for now?
I think you could do whatever you want.
I'm asking the guys, just let Dan go ask and see what's going on first. That sounds like open.
I would, okay. I would say Dan should discuss it with their general manager further, and as far as personally talking to somebody else, I think we need to keep that in reserve. Myself, I know Chris Lawrenson too, but I have no idea why they're. Have changed their mind, and maybe their general manager can give us a little more insight in what their problem is. I mean, what do they need the land for? That's the problem that I see.
Okay. I will get hold of.
They don't need the money for the land, and I hate concentrations. I just don't like it. I'd hate somebody to come in and say you're going to take a piece of land from me. So maybe that's their general attitude. But I'd like to kind of physically walk our land and see just what we do have ourselves. Maybe with you, Dan, one day.
Okay. Yeah, we can arrange that.
I have a question, Dan. Have we spent a lot of money in reliance on the fact that that's going to be the site?
No, we've done no planning, no architectural work or anything for that site other than, staff time and appraisal.
Okay.
Dan, I have a question.
Go ahead, Director Pastor.
Do we have anything to trade them? I don't mean like two trucks and a tractor, but do we have any land or anything that could be a value to them, that it could be a, even if it's not a trade, if it's a sale and a sale, or do we not have anything to really offer?
Yeah, we did go down that path with them because we myself and their GM, we weren't sure, if our offer was going to be strong enough up front to get them to go. So, we talked about, if there's any other things we can do, we offered if they needed any access to a small material store down on Bethel Island. We've got the future water reservoirs and pump stations for the Delta Cove, so they could, stage some materials out there. They can have a remote courtyard, so we entertained that. Apparently, they've got a lay-down yard just on the mainland side of the Bethel Island Bridge, so that was not of interest to them. Other than that, we don't really have, large plots of land that would be useful to them. But, I appreciate that.
Understood.
Okay, well, and since we're still in closed session, so at this point, so that we don't worry about overlapping the conversations and we can have the official discussion when we get to 8, but for myself knowing, it sounds like Director Crockett wants to come out, walk the site, see if he can visualize a place for a building there. And do we want to look at bringing in the architect that can give us some ideas what could fit if we're site constrained, or are we going to jump too far ahead and you want me to keep going down the path with Iron Mountain until that turns to a dead lead, we leave an architect out of it?
I'm ready to move forward with the architect.
Okay.
Who said that? Which director?
Well, that's you mean
that's Jack.
Item 8, you mean? So we'd have to adjourn the closed session before you did that.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a feeling for what would happen.
Who made that comment?
I did, Ken. Jack DeFremery.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like we've discussed this as much as we can at this time. So I move to end the closed session.
Okay, so we're back in open session, and there's nothing to report from closed session.
8:38, nothing to report.
Moving
and on to you.
I think we closed it too soon. We didn't solve anything.
Well, Ken, we're going to have the general manager talk to their general manager, and you're going to take a look at the yard. Maybe we can all take a look at different times.
I think so.
What more could we accomplish right at this moment?
Fine.
I agree. It's not acceptable. I'm frustrated with Iron House.
Okay. Well, the item in front of us now is on item 8. If we want to get an architect on board, and you know, some of the stuff they can do is site planning, whether it's our current situation, our current land, or should we be able to get to an agreement with Iron House? It's built within their scope to come out on site, look at our needs, determine square footage we need, and they are familiar with working with pre-engineered metal buildings, so they know, you know, can they go in two stories? How do you design two-story, one-story? This architect has all those skills as well. And so I think, you know, given the amount that they had in their contract, plus the 10% contingency above the total contract, should give us a chance to really utilize them to look at both our current space and the potential for that corner parcel. So we might be able to get a better feel of, you know, the potential building cost, whether we've got a nice flat spot or if we're looking at, you know, one of our other locations on site. Or they might be able to advise us when they first come out that there's no way it's going to fit on your current site. So I think it's worth bringing an architect on to start some of the legwork. Obviously, none of the real design work, but to do some of the preliminary needs assessment with the district. What do we need for space and such? So I'd recommend that we still move forward with the architect contract.
I'll move for approval.
I'll second it.
Can I ask a question, Dan? It's sort of a, I guess, discussion. You've not discussed anything with Nacho or Wayne. They have no idea that this now is the purchase is kind of off the table, and assessing their needs, and if that little chunk down there by the railroad tracks is something that they feel that would satisfy our needs as a district.
Right. So I did check with Wayne yesterday, and I have not had a chance with Nacho given our reduced staffing load that we're looking at right now. So I did talk to Wayne just for a minute to get his initial feedback. I did check with the city just to see what the setbacks from the rail lines are, just to do real cursory check of can we even build in that location. And everything preliminarily says, yes, it's buildable. Yes, it'd be an okay location. It just really depends on, you know, what the architect can design around as far as there's grade changes in that area. We need to make sure it's ADA accessible. All that sort of stuff. So the architect would be the one that would really make that call of, you know, you're doubling your building cost because you're trying to build here, or nope, not a problem. We can work with this current contour.
Then okay. I'm sure you've looked at it, but the old settling basins, how much area is down there? We don't use that any longer.
Correct. That's the other location that I mentioned. I think that's in closed session. That might be an option.
Right.
So we'd have to obviously take out all the concrete that's in there, and we'd be a lot closer to the water tank than we'd normally want to be, because we'd be setting in its shadows essentially. But it is something that is a plausible location that's where I'd want, you know, a professional designer to be taking a look at what type of building would fit there for flow of traffic, you know, our own vehicles, material deliveries, things like that.
Right. You'd be in the shade all day.
That's not a bad thing, is it?
Okay, I think we have a first and a second, right?
Yeah, I have a first by Vice President DeFremery and a second by Director Crockett. And I'll do a roll call vote if there's no more discussion. Director Pastor?
Aye.
Director Seeger?
Aye.
Director Crockett?
Aye.
Vice President DeFemery?
Aye.
President Hobbs?
Aye.
Okay. I hope whoever that was that coughed didn't give me corona in my ear. Okay. So for the next meetings, you did hear me mention earlier that we are going to need to have a special meeting to get some of these FEMA forms together, because FEMA, in its wisdom, has currently given us an April 8th deadline to put in any requests for financial assistance. Right now, like I mentioned before, we are looking at, you know, just straight lost revenue and fees was $1,500. We don't know what else they're going to potentially include. So I do want to get these forms in place, and these are standard forms as well. These forms can be used for any future disaster for the next, I believe it's 3 years. So it's good to always have these on file anyways. And that would mean I'd like to call a meeting probably at the start of next week. Again, on a conference call, very limited in scope, FEMA forms. And I can add if there's any updates from the discussion with Iron House, with their GM, I can add that. And I can also put an agenda item on there. It goes with the FEMA stuff of having the potential for the district to assign EOC reps to the city should we have future disasters that require it. So I can get all that together and in everybody's hands or delivered to your house on Friday afternoon, which would make us eligible for a meeting on special board meetings 48 hours, so we'd be eligible for Monday if others are available. And I'd recommend, since it's a special meeting, very targeted on these items, that we just hold it to our normal work hours.
You're talking about Monday the 30th?
Yes.
Okay. And you're talking about during work hours?
Yeah, I would propose either like a 10 a.m. or a 1 p.m.,
Works for me.
I could do 10 a.m.
Okay, our Director Seeger, 10 a.m.
Pastor, whenever I'm available.
Deep memories available.
Okay.
I'm available.
10 a.m. Sounds good.
Okay, so I will get that out to you by Friday afternoon, and look forward to a quick meeting and reconvening at that point.
Okay.
So
anybody got any problem with the other dates they have down for the next meeting, the board of directors?
Looks good.
I don't think so. Okay, fine.
Okay.
Well, gentlemen, it looks like we're all done.
Other than adjourn.
Okay, Kenny, your turn.
I make a motion we go home.
I'll second it.
Adjourn. That was a funny.
We got you.
Okay, Ken. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye now.